no way until you made one. Grace upon grace, hallelujah. Even though I don't deserve it, you did it. Even though I couldn't earn it, you give it. Who am I that you keep me on your mind? God, I'm just grateful for you. God, I'm just grateful for you. All my life you've been right here by my side.
Church, come on, stand to your feet. Amen. How many of you are ready to be in the house of God today? Come on, let's just give him praise. He's worthy. God, we just go before you this morning. God, we ask that you would just fall in this place, Father God. Be with our worship, Lord, as we sing these songs to you, God. I pray that it would be from our hearts, God, this morning. And God, that we would just have the joy of the Lord this morning, Father God, that you would just fall in this place, God, that your spirit would be so, so thick. Father God, we love you. We long to be with you this morning. Lord God, we lay everything aside and just focus on you right now. Come have your way in our hearts, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's worship the Lord. He's worthy. Come on, clap your hands.
The day you were made. So why we rejoice and be glad, rejoice and be glad in it. And this is where I believe that you are more than enough, more than enough for me. Come on, we sing. You are faithful to your promise. You are strong when I am weak. When I'm standing in your presence, I have everything I need. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
It's more than a feeling.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Sing,
oh my soul, bless his name. All that is within me is saved. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And Jesus, come what may, you are worthy of all, worthy of all my praise. You are faithful to your promise. You are strong when I am weak. When I'm standing in your presence, I got everything I need. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
It's more than a feeling.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Sing, oh my.
Oh my soul, bless his name. All that is within him is saved. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Chapter 5, verse 5 says, the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. As we worship him this morning, can we just thank him for his love that endures forever? The love that has been with us since the beginning of time, before we were even created. The love that is with us here this morning in this room. And the love that will be with us for eternity as we live with our Savior. So let's just thank him this morning. Let's thank him for the love that he has for us. We love you so much, Jesus.
My day.
Yeah, come on, lift your voice.
For the Lord is, and all of my days. For the Lord is good. It's only by His blood. It's only by the blood.
He paid on the cross, Father God, for our sins, God, that we can freely come to you, Jesus, if we accept you and we know your Son. God, you have given us a connection by the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Thank you so much for the blood that was shed that washes all our sins, God, that makes us clean before you, Father. So, Father God, I pray right now, God, that we would surrender our hearts, surrender to you this morning, Father. God, I pray that you would wash over us, God. Cleanse our sins, Father God. Make us pure and holy before you, Father. God, I pray for your word this morning, that it would transform our hearts and our minds. God, we can't hear you this morning, Lord God, unless you speak to us. So we surrender to you, Father, this morning. We submit to your will, and we give you free rein to our hearts, our eyes, and our ears. And I pray that you would just come in, sweep through this place. And it's only by your blood, Jesus. So come have your way. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, church. You guys greet one another.
Before the king, chains after break. Drop bones awake, prepare the way. Oh, fear has to flee.
Yes, it does.
Shame has to leave. Before the king,
before the king,
before the king,
before the king.
Chains have to break.
Chains have to break.
Drop bones awake.
Hey, church, I'm Jess, and we are so thankful and excited that you're here with us. For the next few minutes, we'll take a look at what's happening here at Calvary Knoxville. Calvary Knoxville invites you to our Fall Festival on Friday, September 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Pavilion. Bring the whole family and enjoy an evening of fun, fellowship, and celebration. Kids will love the toddler bounce house and exciting 18-foot inflatable slide, while everyone can enjoy games, free face painting, free balloon animals, and shopping from local vendors. Come hungry. Good Hombres Tacos will be on site with food available for purchase, and drinks will be available throughout the evening. Admission is free, so invite your friends, family, and neighbors, and join us for a great evening together. Our next Resolve Bible study is coming up on Tuesday, September 1st, or Friday, September 4th. We'll be learning how to find joy in unpleasant circumstances as we study the book of Philippians. And if you'd like to volunteer to help with childcare, specifically as a teacher during our Friday study, please call the church office. For more information or to sign up, check out the registration on the events page of our website. If you've recently accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or if you're simply looking to become more grounded in what you believe, then our New Beginnings class is perfect for you. It happens every Sunday at 1 p.m. in the Bethlehem classroom. This is an ongoing class, so you can start anytime, and there's no need to register. Thanks again for joining us. And if you have any questions about these announcements, please be sure to stop by the Welcome Center on the way out. God bless and enjoy the teaching.
All right. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. So great to see you guys. Isn't it great just worshiping the Lord as a family of God? Nothing like it. Praise the Lord. So glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Mark chapter 8. As we look today at past and future faithfulness, I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll pray. One quick announcement, actually, before I do that, no shepherd's class today. Those of you that are doing the shepherd's class, we had to cancel that today, so no shepherd's class today. With that said, it says this, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to himself and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Father, thank you again that you're so faithful, Lord, to take care of us. And God, even as we read about the fact that you want to feed the people that were there with you physically, God, your desire this morning is to feed us spiritually. And so I pray, God, you would open your word to us, even as you fed the 5,000, even as you're going to see, we're going to see today, Lord, you fed the 4,000. Again, after that, Lord, feed those that are here this morning. That we might hear your word, God, that we might remember your past faithfulness. And by that, Lord, also look towards your faithfulness today for those in this room that need to be reminded of that, and your faithfulness tomorrow beyond this. So, Lord, we give you all the glory. Pour out your spirit on the teaching of your word, Lord, even as we blessed you and sang to you. God, I pray now that you would sing over us and bless us and open your word to us. And, Lord, fill this place with your love. Overwhelm us, God. Let your love fill this room. Let your love fill the halls. Let your love fill the kids' ministry right now, God. Just overwhelming in every area, God. Those in the cafe, Lord, just pour out your spirit and your love and minister now to your flock through your word and by your spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as we look at past and future faithfulness, today we come to the second time that Jesus feeds the multitudes in a deserted area. And this time, instead of it being the 5,000 that were the Jews, it's going to be 4,000 Gentiles that are being ministered to here. And there's going to be a whole picture of the Lord ministering to Jews and ministering to the Gentiles. Remember, the Bible says he came first to the Jew and then the Gentile. And the Lord was giving this message to his disciples that he came for both by doing this and showing us the same thing today. But there's a larger message that the Lord is giving us today that some of you need to hear right now this morning, because I know how God works by his word and by his spirit. And that is, you are facing a situation where you need a miracle and you're wondering, God, how in the world is this going to happen? How are you going to do this? Lord, what's going to take place? And what the Lord wants to remind you of is this: has he been faithful to you to do what was needed in the past? And if he has, he's going to be faithful to do what is needed for you now in the future. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the reality is, you need to understand, even as he's done this then, he's going to do it for you again now. I think about how quickly we are to forget these things, and the disciples forgetting how quickly the Lord has done. This whole idea of the second feeding of the 4,000 after the 5,000, they're going to go through the same process.
They have forgotten completely, it seems, about what the Lord did the first time. And so God's going to remind them now by using this feeding of the 4,000 with the Gentiles that he's going to be faithful in everything. And again, to remind them, we need to remember what it is that God does for us, how quickly we forget. Just think about how many times God has been faithful in your life when you needed him the most. And now just you're in this situation going, Lord, what's going to happen now? Well, let me tell you what's going to happen now. The same thing that happened then. God's going to be faithful and God's going to come through for you. Again, I can share story after story of things that God has done for me. I'll share one real quick one. I remember with our number four, Abby, when we had her, we always prayed a lot about what are the girls' names? What should we name them? Because to me, a name's a big deal and it has a meaning to it. And so we had in our heart for her, Abby. And so again, from Abijah of all things, from the prophet, but Abby for a girl. And so there she was. And we're praying about it, going, I think this is her name. Even up to the day she was born, we weren't sure. But I was saying, God, give a confirmation. I think you're really putting in our heart Abby. Confirm that it's Abby. And again, when she was born, they took her back behind the window, and they're in there working with her, and I'm watching them work. And I'm praying to myself, Lord, just let you confirm she's here. We need a name for her. Confirm the name. I kid you not. The nurse walks up to her and goes, you know what? You look like an Abby. And I said, all right, Lord, you spoke. Her name is Abby. And that nurse, I don't think even knows that God used her to confirm that. I don't think I had a chance to tell her that because I couldn't go back in the room, you know, where they were all were. But what was interesting, that's just kind of the fun part of the story. What happened right after that is as soon as we got home and all the hospital bills, I realized that I'd let our insurance lapse by one day. So I'm looking at my insurance going, okay, first of all, Lord, I need you to move in a huge way just so I can tell Tracy. But you did what? You know? And she's gracious, but you get my point. This is a big deal. It was thousands of dollars in the hospital, and this was new in the ministry. Again, we were still just, you know, getting by with what little that we had. It wasn't a lot of resources in those days. And so I'm going, okay, God, look what's happened here. God, I need a miracle. Now, you've shown miracles in the past. You've done so many miracles to get us here to Knoxville. And like, all the things you've done. God, I need a miracle now. And so, you know, I called up the insurance company. I said, hey, are you going to cover this? And they said, we're sorry. You missed it. It lapsed. We can't cover it because your insurance ran out the day before she was born. And so even though I tried to reinstate it, they said it was too late. And so I remember hanging the phone up and thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? We had to come up with all this money. And I just began to pray. And I said, God, you can do all things. You're the God of the universe. You have all power, all authority. To you, a few thousand dollars is nothing. To me, it's a million. I don't have the money. We don't have it. We have a new baby. You've blessed us. God, I need you to move. I need you to move. And I'm not kidding. It was within a day. I don't know if it's the same day or the next day. The insurance company called me. And they said, guess what? We've decided to cover those bills in the hospital. Now, do insurance companies ever do that? I mean, I was like, thank you, God. And listen, that's one of many stories I could tell you of things that God has done in our lives and covered my stupidity in one thing, but also even when I didn't do something foolish, where God has just covered him in faithful. And some of you need to hear that this morning because you find yourself in a situation where the insurance lapsed today and you've got those bills for the new baby. Now, I'm not saying literally, but you get my point. You've got yourself in some pickle. There's a situation. You need to understand God knows all your days from beginning all the way to the end. He knows what's going to happen. He has a plan for all of it. Sometimes God even allows these things to grow our faith and to test us. And sometimes God will take us to a place where there's no way out. So we have to rely on him and depend on him. I think about the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. God literally led them by a cloud. How would you like to be led by a cloud? God, what's your will? Oh, okay, there it is. Let's go. All right? I mean, you can't miss the will of God when there's a cloud in front of you walking, right? And so God leads them, and he leads them to a dead end. They go to the Red Sea. There's no way out. There's mountains on both sides. Topographically, we know that. The sea's in front of them. Pharaoh's army is closing in, and they're looking at Moses going, what have you done to us? What are we supposed to do? And Moses, sounding all bold and courageous, you know, goes, trust the Lord. God's going to work. And as soon as he's done, we know that he's crying out, God, you got to do something. Because God says, Moses, stop praying. Just stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. You know, he tells him what to do. And then God, of course, splits the Red Sea, and God delivers them and protects them and all that. My point is simply this. God led them to that dead end of desperation where they had to depend on God. Maybe you're at a dead end, a place of desperation, where you have to depend on God. And maybe you're even thinking, how did I get myself in this mess? Maybe you didn't. Maybe God led you to that mess. Maybe God put you in a corner and said, now what are you going to do? Mark, are you going to try to figure this one out again? Or are you going to call out to me? And he's waiting on you to say, God, I'm going to call out to you. And God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God is saying that to some of you this morning. We need to do that. God wanted his disciples to know this as well. He wanted them to remember his faithfulness in the past, to remind themselves that he would be faithful in the future. And so he's going to use this whole situation to show them. Now, to set the setting. Remember where we left off last time. The Lord had gone up, first of all, to Tyre and Sidon, to that area up in there, to minister to this Gentile woman who had the demon-possessed daughter. God delivered her, set her free. We don't know what else God did up in that region other than, again, he sends him back down to the Sea of Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, over to the other side, the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. If you're looking at a map in your mind and you see the nation of Israel, it would be to the right of the Sea of Galilee on the east side, the area known as the Decapolis. We talked about it last week. There were 10 Roman cities on that side, a couple of them down below the Sea of Galilee on the other side, but 8 up here on that side there, and those 10 made up the Decapolis if you moved around, and he was going to minister specifically to Gentiles. Now, the disciples didn't figure it out at this point other than what are we doing in this Gentile territory, but they had learned just to follow the Lord wherever he went because they knew that what he was doing was always right and they trusted him and they followed. But now he's there with just multitudes. Again, multitudes following him. They've been following him for days. And again, this is where we take up starting here in verse 8. And notice what happens. It says, in those days. What days? That is the days that he was in the area of the Gentiles with multitudes of Gentiles following him, again, teaching this lesson to his disciples that it's for not just the Jew, but for all people. He says, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. That if they've come from a long way, they can't just run down and grab food somewhere. Again, we find ourselves in the same situation they were in last time, and that is these large crowds following the Lord, even as with the 5,000, although it was in Jewish territory. And the same problem comes up that came up then. They're in the middle of nowhere, they're massive crowds, and now it's time to eat dinner. Now what do you do? Or time to eat lunch. You know, what are you going to do? They need to be fed. They're weary from their travel. It's not just, oh, I'm ready for a meal because I'm hungry, but they've been traveling with the Lord. They need their strength. And so he says, 3 days, this is a long time. He has compassion on them. And now he wants them to get into, he starts to teach them a lesson about the similarities of these, the Jewish feeding of the 5,000 and the Gentile, the 4. And guys, I want to note this. We're going to point out some things here that I want you to start looking at when you do your Bible study. Every word that is used in the Word of God is God-breathed and is there for a specific reason. Every number that is put in the Word of God is chosen and used there for a specific reason. Everything. The rabbis go so far as to say even the gaps between the letters are God-breathed. Now, again, I don't know about that, but either way, everything in the Word of God is that important. And so Jesus used, and the Holy Spirit used everything specifically to paint a picture of what he was doing. It's interesting. With the 5,000, 5 is the number of grace. And I believe what God was showing was the grace that he was showing the nation of Israel by feeding them and by ministering to them, even as he promised they would have a Messiah and that he would come to them first, and even seeing the 12 basketfuls that were left over when they were done. Again, 12 being the number of the tribes of Israel. He's making a point. I'm giving you grace to the tribes of Israel. I'm keeping my promise to you as I said I would do. I'm feeding you physically, but I'm also showing you that I'm feeding you spiritually. You're my chosen people, and I'm going to keep my promises. Now we come to the Gentiles. Again, the feeding of the 4,000. It's interesting. The number 4 is the number of creation. And why is this significant? Because I believe the Lord was saying, look, I didn't just come for the Jews, but all creation. Everyone, all the Gentiles as well. I'm coming for them. And even as we're going to see, they start off again with the 7 small loaves of bread. We'll see in a moment. They have 7 large basketfuls when they're done. 7 being the number of completion. God is showing I'm going to complete my church. I'm going to complete my bride. I'm going to complete the work that I'm going to do by also reaching out to the Gentiles and ministering to them as well. Now, it doesn't end there because even in the baskets that are used and the words that are used here in the language, it's interesting. The basket that is spoken of when he fed the 5,000 Jews is the smaller personal basket. We would almost think like maybe a lunch basket. And it's very interesting because the Jewish lunch baskets would have a very small opening at the top. And there was a reason for that. They had to eat Levitically clean. They could only eat certain foods and eat in a certain way. Today, they can talk about eating kosher. So they would have a very small opening to their basket so nothing non-kosher could get in. You didn't even want an insect to get in there or anything like that. So the baskets were smaller with a very small top on there. And there were, again, they had 12 baskets, but there were smaller baskets that were taken up. Interesting, the word here used for baskets for the Gentiles is the large hamper-style basket. Kind of picture a laundry basket. It's the same word used for the basket that lowered Paul down over the walls there in Damascus when he was escaping. It's a large basket with a large opening. Now, why do I find this significant? Because I believe God was even giving us a picture of how he was going to work in the church and the world historically. What do we see today? Only small baskets of Jews have been saved. many early on, but now there's a smaller number and very few have come. And today, as you know, as a nation generally, they reject the Lord. And yet with the Gentiles, we have large baskets with the work of God and ministry all over the world, bringing them in larger numbers. So even the imagery that God uses and the picture that God uses in this is amazing in what he's painting for us in the work that he's doing then and the work that he's going to be doing in the future. And so it says, look, they're here. They're hungry. We got to take care of them. Now you're in the same predicament. What are we going to do, guys? And look at verse 4. Then his disciples answered him, and they said, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Again, what an amazing question. Didn't this just happen a few weeks earlier with 5,000 people plus with the women and the children? I would think that the disciples would have said, Lord, you know, we ran into this a while back, and you did this great miracle, so what now? What are we going to do, Lord? And again, I don't want to pick on them because I find that here's the bottom line. They have already forgotten and aren't remembering God's miracles that he's done in their life in the past. They already forgot the fact that the insurance company called them and said they would cover the bills when they don't normally do that. And now the next trial is right before them and they're going, wait a minute, now what? What are we going to do now? We have this bill in front of us. We have that situation. And it's almost like saying, Lord, you know, oh, what are we going to do? And he's saying, don't you remember what I did last time? I did a miracle. I can do it again. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? And again, the reason I don't pick on them, because you think, how could they forget that quickly? I forget that quickly. And some of you this morning, you're forgetting how quickly God has worked in your life. Think of those miracles. I want to encourage you, meditate today on the things that God has done since you've known him that have been supernatural throughout your life. Just meditate on them. Especially if you're in the middle of a crisis right now and you're wondering, God, where do we go from here? What are you going to do now? Because he's going to say to you, I'm going to do the same thing I did then. It may be a little bit different style and different way, but I'm going to rescue you. And I'm going to show you that I love you. And I'm going to show you my power and my glory. It's going to come in a way you may not imagine, but I'm going to do it. And he wanted them to learn that. And he wants us to learn this. And so again, showing they don't remember. Why would they even ask again, how are we going to meet the needs of these people with limited resources? But here's what I want to encourage you in as well. If you're wondering right now, how am I going to be able to meet the needs of my limited resources with this trial that's in front of me? You can't. So relax and rest in the Lord and say, God, I can't do this. I need you to do another miracle. You're going to have to move, God. And God has been faithful to do that. Look, you know, it's interesting. On a personal level, when these trials come into my life, it's a lot harder than it is on a church-wide level. When something happens on a church-wide level where there's an issue with the church, oh, we need more parking, you know, what are we going to have the funding for, you know, we need to put a new sanctuary, how do we get all these things? When it's God's work, I can rest much easier because I realize it's not my problem. This isn't my church. It's God's church. And if God's doing it, if God's leading it, and we're not, if we're simply following, then all we have to do is follow and say, Lord, what are you going to do? How are you going to supply now for this next move of the ministry? How are you going to supply for what you're doing? That's his problem, not mine. And so there's a place of rest in that. But here's where the real trial comes in for me when it's personal. What about me? And what are we going to do in this situation with our family? Because if I've got the weight of the whole church going, I realize, God, you're going to be faithful to your church, but are you going to be faithful to me? Well, the answer is yes. He's going to be just as faithful to me and you as he is the church. And so he wants them to know that. He wants them to trust and realize they don't have the resources, but he does have the resources. He's a very big God, and he'll take care of whatever our needs are. So here it is. What are we going to do, Lord? There's all these people. How can we feed them in the wilderness? He says to them in verse 5, well, how many loaves do you have? Does this bring back any memories? And they said 7. Last time it was 5 loaves and 2 fish. Isn't that interesting? In the very first one, the Holy Spirit records it was 5 and 2, which is 7, the number of completion. The Holy Spirit now records the 7 loaves, but doesn't mention the fish until later. Again, showing us, I believe, that hint of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be and do what's needed to complete this the same way I did the other time. But I'm trying to remind you guys that I've been faithful. Recognize what I'm doing. I'm going to be faithful beyond this. But again, also, I want you to notice there's a pattern here he follows. He says to them, all right, what do you have? And they said 7. Again, it doesn't really matter how much they have. That wasn't what the point the Lord was making. The point is, whatever you have, give it to me and it will be enough. So whatever you're facing this morning, give it to the Lord and it will be enough. I don't know, whatever your situation is. And this isn't just talking about finances or resources in that way. It may be something else even psychologically or mentally or emotionally that you're trying to give to the Lord. Or what do you have? Our marriage is about to fail, Lord. Well, give me what you've got. Love your wife. Love your husband. Let them love me back. I didn't ask about that. I said, you love them. You do your part. You let me worry about them. You do your part. What about my child? My child has walked away. They're not walking with God. You love your child. Yeah, but they're rebelling. Well, that's between me and them. You just do your part. You do what you can do. You love them. You pray for them. You lift them up before me and let me work. This is up to me. You just give me what you have, and I'll take it from there. I'll make it be enough. And notice verse 6. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, and he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. Notice that pattern there. We'll come back to that. And notice, now he mentions the fish. Notice they also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to set them before them. Now, this is interesting here. Watch what he does. The same pattern that the Lord did last time, he's doing here. Now, I don't want you to make the mistake to think that we can put God in some kind of pattern. Okay, here's the template that God works within. So always do this whenever God's going to do something. There's the template. No, God works in very different ways all the time. We can't do that. Think about a lot of times people that were deaf, he just healed their ears. He healed those who couldn't speak. But in the guy we saw last week, the man, remember, he put his fingers in his ears and then grabbed his tongue. How unusual is that, right? So the Lord does it the way he wants. Each time he had purposes, he knew what that man needed, the way that man needed to be reached. So don't get me wrong in thinking that we just follow some pattern, but I do want you to notice, I believe there is a template of a spiritual approach when it comes to ministry and what you're doing for the Lord that applies here. And this is if you're called into ministry, whether you're working with kids ministry or youth or adults or in the streets, you know, with the evangelism, whatever you're doing, there's a pattern here. And notice what he said first to them. He said, ask the people to sit down. That is, first of all, get comfortable. I'm going to do this work. This is going to be me. It's not going to be you. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Notice then what he did. He took what the disciples had to offer. He says, now that you're trusting in my power, give me what you have. Lord, I don't speak well. Well, give me what you have. Lord, I don't do this good. Well, give me what you have. Whatever you have, give it to the Lord. He says, hand it to me. And notice, then he blessed it. Here's the key. Once we rest in the Lord, once we give him what we have, God will bless that. He will take it and say, now you've given me what you have. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to use it. And notice this. Don't miss this. Now, once he takes it, receives it, blesses it, he gives it back to them. Now I'm giving it back. Now use it for my glory. Go and minister to the people. Distribute. Guys, we're just distributors. You realize that? That's all we are. The Lord is the one that gives the supply. He's the one that fills the warehouse of our heart when it comes to ministry. All we're to do is show up and distribute what God has given us to distribute and let the Lord handle it from there. And so he's very faithful to do that here, and he's teaching them this. The same pattern we did last time is what he's saying, guys. We're going to do this time. And I'm going to be faithful to do it. I'm going to give you the supply. And notice the result after this happened. Verse 8, after he gave it back to them to distribute and was blessed, so they ate and were filled and took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. In other words, the need for the ministry to the people was met. And not only was it met to the satisfaction of the people, now there was leftovers. And I love how God does that. He always gives us a spiritual doggy bag to take home. Because God is faithful, but you've got to give him what you've got, and then God will make sure that it meets the need of whatever the need is. And notice they were all filled. The word filled there literally means full and satisfied, just like the last time. There was no want. Everything was taken care of. And so, again, not only was it met, but abundance was given, even to the point where there were leftovers, as we said, and these were large baskets full. I mean, can you imagine starting with these loaves again? Think of a tortilla that's kind of fluffy and kind of thick. A lot better than normal tortillas. They call it laffa bread in Israel today. Kind of similar to that, except probably smaller than the laffa. But anyway, I'm already thinking about Israel. Forgive me on that. But either way, and now suddenly when you're done and you've given everybody their bread and their food, there's 7 baskets left over? How do you do the math on that? You don't do the math on that. That's our God. That's what God does. And so again, 7 basketfuls left over, giving the whole picture of God supplying, but supplying again with leftovers and the completion, if you will, even giving extra in the large baskets, more than they started with. And so notice this, it says, now those who had eaten were about 4,000. Now that didn't include the women and children like last time, so more than that. We don't know the exact numbers, we could guess, but either way. And he sent them away and immediately got into the boat with his disciples and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Now, this is very interesting. What region are we talking about? Again, picture in your mind on your map. Most of us have seen the maps of Israel and the Sea of Galilee. Okay, you're looking straight at the map. Go up to the top of the Sea of Galilee and over to your left in that corner. That's the area we're talking about. Same area where Magdala was is where most the archaeologists believe that Dalmanutha was. And remember, Magdala, that's where Mary the Magdalene was from. Her last name was not Magdalene. She was Mary the Magdalene. We don't know what her last name was. That area is right next to Dalmanutha. Now, why do I find this interesting? Because the Lord had just done this amazing miracle. And like other times, right after an amazing miracle of the Lord, the enemy is always there to try to rip us off. Remember when the Lord came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, he comes to the bottom of the mountain, this mountaintop experience with Peter, James, and John, and they're up there, and this is amazing what's happening. Lord, let's just stay here. We'll build three tabernacles, one for each of us, and we're not going to move. We're staying here forever, right? We're just going to be here. And he says, no, I want you to enjoy these mountaintop experiences as a believer, but we have to go back down the mountain. There's ministry to do. You can't live on the mountaintop until you're in the kingdom. So it's time to get back in the trenches, and what's waiting? A demon-possessed boy. He comes back down, and the Lord casts the demon out, and we've talked about that. Oftentimes, after some of the greatest moments in ministry that you have is when you meet the demon-possessed boy, so to speak. There's that demon that's waiting to rip you off. The reason I find it interesting here, when he comes to Dalmanutha, Dalmanutha means slow firebrand. You think, what in the world does that mean? Well, the word means this. It is a piece of burning wood or a person who incites conflict or unrest. And that's exactly what the Lord's going to run into with the Pharisees. They're going to incite conflict. They're going to incite unrest. And again, they're waiting to rip the Lord off and rip off the disciples. And you might think, why would the Lord allow this to happen? He's the Lord. He's there. He could have protected the disciples. He didn't need to put up with that. And yet he does it. The reason he's doing that is to show the disciples and us, listen, you're going to run into people that are going to cause you conflict and unrest in your life. And it's going to be a detriment to you. They're going to fight against you in ministry. They're going to fight against you in a lot of things. Realize this is very normal. It's not fun. I don't like it. But when it happens, I'm like, okay, Lord, you said it was going to happen. I recognize it. And so here we go. And you just do it. The Lord was showing them by example, if I face this, you're going to face this as well. And now the Lord's going to deal with them. In other words, again, he's saying the enemy's always waiting to inflict conflict and unrest whenever God is doing a work. And I can promise you, if you step out in ministry to do the work of God, you're going to find those that are going to be there to, incite conflict and unrest in your life. What is your job? Your job is to continue on in what God has called you to do and just stand in the Lord. Don't be dissuaded by it. Keep moving forward in what God has called you to do. Keep standing in the Lord and leave the rest up to the Lord. Now, when we say that and when I say that, it doesn't mean that it doesn't cause grief. And look at the grief that it caused the Lord here. Very interesting. Look at verse 11. It says, then the Pharisees, again, came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. Isn't it amazing? Seeking a sign from heaven. Where have these guys been? He just fed 4,000. A few weeks earlier, he fed 5,000. He's been like healing those that can't hear and those that can't see. The evidence of the miracles are there. They just didn't want to see it. But here comes the firebrand in the form of the Pharisees. And how ridiculous is their challenge? If they'd only taken the time to examine the fruit and the evidence in the Lord's life, they would have recognized he was a man of God and God was using him. Again, what did Jesus say? You'll know them by their fruit. And if they'd just been watching the life of Jesus, they would have seen the Spirit of God. They would have seen the anointing of God. They would have seen what God was doing, and they would have been asking such a ridiculous question. But again, this is always what those that are trying to cause a problem will do as the enemy stirs them. And they should have known this. They should have seen it by simply looking at their life and rather than ridiculing, watching what the Lord was doing. I reckon we talked about it last week, guys. Remember, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you want to know what's in someone's heart, just listen to their words. And when you hear those words, realize there's an abundance of that. Whatever just came out, a bunch of it's in there. If it's godly stuff, praise the Lord. Their heart's filled with godly stuff. If it's ungodly stuff, oh my goodness, their heart's filled with ungodly stuff. The same thing is true with our actions. He said, you'll know them by their fruit. Imagine a tree. When you walk up to a tree and there's fruit on it, you'll be able to see what kind of fruit it is. Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? Is it rotten fruit? Is it healthy fruit? Well, you know, what is the evidence of the tree? And it's amazing. If you learn to be discerning and simply watch the fruit, you'll recognize what's happening in someone's life. Now, I don't mean judging people and walking around. You know, we always talk about the Holy Spirit police, you know, no, that's not what we're to be. We're to show grace and love to each other. But we also are to use discernment. And again, that comes from looking at the fruit. So here again, they haven't looked at his fruit very obviously. They're just trying to find a way to attack him. And again, seeking a sign from heaven, which is ridiculous. He's done all these signs. But look at verse 12. Look how it affected the Lord. This is interesting to me. But he sighed deeply in his spirit. I never recognized how often the Lord sighed until this journey through Mark. I guess I've always read past those words, but it's just been jumping out at me. We saw last week, remember when he healed the man that was deaf and he couldn't speak? He sighed. And why did he sigh? Because look what sin has done to mankind. You should have never been deaf. You should have been able to speak. And that's not how I created everything. This is not what I intended, and that's why I've come back to fix it. We think about the sighing that he did at Lazarus' tomb when he was there. It says they came, he wept, and he groaned within himself. He groaned. Again, it uses the groanings, what it speaks of there, but it gives a picture again of that weight that was on him. Why was he groaning? What was happening? It wasn't because of the fact that Lazarus was dead, because he knew he was about to raise him from the dead. He was groaning at the fact that Mary and Martha didn't believe. After all the miracles they'd seen for 3 years of ministry, he said, how can you not believe? He groaned within himself when this took place. And now we see him sighing deeply here in this situation because, again, of their unbelief and their challenge to him. Rather than challenging me, the Lord would be thinking, I'm your Savior. I'm the one that created you. He knew each of those. Think about this. Each of the guys that were challenging him, he made them in the womb. He formed those guys. I wonder when he's forming those guys going, you're going to fight me there at Dalmanutha. And you're going to say this. Why would you do that? Look what I've done for you. I love you. You're gonna put the nails in my wrist. You're gonna be the one there mocking me at the bottom. I'll make sure you have a beautiful smile. And you're gonna be doing this. The Bible says he forms all of us in the womb. So that everyone that did whatever they did to the Lord, he knew them. And so think about how heavy he was. I knew you before you were created. I created all you guys. I made you with my very fingers. I made you in the womb. And now you're coming to challenge me? Rather than believe me, rather than love me. It's interesting, the word sigh here. It means to draw up deep sighs from the bottom of the chest. You ever been there? Just heaviness. The Lord felt heaviness. If you feel heaviness this morning in your sighs, know that the Lord knows what you feel. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 53, 3a, the first part of that verse. It says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows what it's like to grieve. Those of you that are heavy with sorrow this morning and you're acquainted with the grief, he not only formed you in the womb and knows everything about you, he knows about your grief. He's felt the grief. And the sigh here means a deep sigh that comes from the bottom of the chest. Again, typically when you're in that kind of place and it's heavy, you don't even realize you're doing it. You ever been in that place? And I think about times over the years where I've had just heaviness on me, heaviness, and I'll be sighing deeply and not even know it. And Tracy, I can hear Tracy in the other room. You're sighing again. Well, Jesus did. No, I didn't say that. My grandchild was the other day sitting down in a chair. She's, one little over 1.5 or whatever. He sits in a chair and goes, ugh. He gets back up and walks to me and says, ugh. We're like looking at each other. What's he doing? And Father, I think Tracy said to him, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? He said, Papa. I grunt when I sit down. That's pretty bad. At least grunt when I stand up, okay? All right, I'm busted. I didn't realize that. I guess maybe I am making noises I didn't realize I was making because they see that. It's something that happens naturally, but some of you right now, you're sighing. You're sitting here this morning going, that's me. I'm sighing. I think about what, again, a great message could be the size of Jesus. And just looking at all the places in Scripture where he felt heavy so you can realize he felt your heaviness. He knows. And it grieves him as well. So this deep sigh that comes from within, again, something that can't be controlled, but reveals the sorrow and exasperation as he's dealing with these religious leaders who should have known better. Again, you guys, you're supposed to be religious leaders. You're supposed to be the one leading people into joy and the things of God and pointing them to me. And instead, rather than that, you're trying to destroy me. You want what you want rather than what God wants. And you're fighting against the very one that created you. I think about Daniel when he was talking to Belshazzar there in Daniel chapter 5. And he's rebuking him and saying, you know what? You're using the implements of God. They were having a party and using the implements of God from the temple to party with them. And he goes, the very God that gave you the breath that you have, you've done this against. Do you realize that not only did he create everyone, every breath that we take and every breath that people that curse the Lord, he gives them the breath. I hate God. I don't believe in God. I think I just can't believe you're a Christian. God's giving it. Go, here's more breath. Here's more breath. If it was me, it'd be like, whoop, you know. That's why I'm not God. You should be thankful. But he goes, go ahead. I'm going to give you more breath to curse me. Why? Because I love you and I made you. I remember you in the womb. And I love you. And you don't know it yet, but I'm still going to keep working on you, try to break your heart because I love you. Isn't that amazing? Listen, if you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord. He's doing everything he can to show you how much he loves you. He's doing everything he can to draw you in. And he's going to keep chasing you down until you either say, no, I don't want you, or until you give in. If you say no, he'll honor it. And we'll see he's going to honor that with these guys again, because they're going to say no. And again, another gospel tells us in Matthew, it says, look what he says to them. He says, he sighed deeply in his spirit and says, why does this generation seek a sign? Surely I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. Again, signs don't save unbelievers. Guys, recognize that. I think if we could just show them a sign, signs strengthen believers. But signs do not convince unbelievers. You show them a sign, it won't convince them. How many people knew about the fact he resurrected? How many people know that today and they still don't believe? So signs don't save anybody. It's the heart. It's a heart issue. And he said to them, he said, I'll give you one sign. I'm not going to give you some show and you want to try to prove something from heaven. I'll give you one sign. Even as Jonah was in the heart of the great fish 3 days and three nights and came out, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. I'm going to resurrect from the dead. And so even as you saw that, you're going to see this. That's the only sign you're going to get. You need to believe in me. I think again about Abraham speaking to Lazarus and speaking to the rich man there in Luke 16, you know, in Abraham's bosom. And he says, you know, hey, let me go back, you know, send someone back to tell my brothers about this now that I know it's real. And you see this whole sad scene about somebody who's already there in Hades and they're going, let me go back and tell them that this isn't a joke, that it's real. There really is a place of judgment and see if I can spare them from coming to where I came. He said, you know what? He said, they've got the Bible. They've got the Bible. If they don't believe the Bible, they're not going to believe you coming back from the dead. He said, if somebody rises from the dead, they'll believe. He said, no, they won't. They won't believe. One did come from the dead. Jesus Christ resurrected 3 days. And how many family and friends do we know right now that still reject that? It's a heart change. God has to do something in the heart. They have to be willing to allow God to do this in the heart. And their motives were wrong. Their heart was wrong. They didn't really want to believe in the Lord. They wanted an excuse to reject him. And they were looking for an excuse. You can't show me a sign. You know, you're these people that say, if God's real, then let him strike me dead right now. You know, that kind of thing. And I don't really want that to ever happen, but wouldn't that be something? I don't want that to happen. I wouldn't want that to happen to me. Aren't you glad God gave you grace? I'm glad God gave me grace. But at the same time, you see that there's no fear of God. A sign's not going to change the heart. It's something, again, in the world says seeing is believing. But in the spirit realm, it's the opposite. Believing is seeing. Once you believe, your eyes are opened. And now you can see the truth of the word of God. And so notice here what happens. It says in verse 13, and this always happens to those who openly reject the Lord, and he left them. Isn't that interesting? He left them. It doesn't mean they didn't have any chance. It doesn't mean he wouldn't give them another opportunity. It means, you know what? Your heart's too hard right now to reach, so I'm going to leave you alone. And I think about how many years did I reject the Lord that he left me alone? Maybe again, you're here this morning. You don't know the Lord. You've been rejecting him for all these years. And God's saying, I'm trying to reach you again now. We've been at Dalmanutha, and all you wanted to do was incite unrest and fight with me. So I let you do that. I left you alone. I left. But now I'm back again. Are you ready for me now? Are you ready to receive me? Do you know that I love you? Are you willing to let go and just give yourself to me and stop fighting? So he says he left them. And getting into the boat again, he departed to the other side. Again, going to the other side for other ministry. And when the disciples had forgotten to take bread, again, after all those baskets they had, they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. So they forgot to take bread. They're going to the other side. And the Lord says to them, now look, he's thinking spiritual. They're thinking physical. He charged them and said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, leaven in Scripture, and they should have known this, leaven in Scripture is a type of evil. It's a type of evil. And what he's saying is, beware of the false teaching of the Pharisees and beware of the false teaching of the world's philosophies. Notice he didn't just say the religious leaders. He said the leaven of Herod. Guys, and by the way, it's written in a way that means continually be watching for this. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Continually be watching for those who are teaching the word of God unfaithfully and untrue. Beware. And secondly, even in the world, the world's philosophies, the world's mindset. What do we see going on in the world today? Oh, everything's okay. God doesn't care about men and women and who's with who and all that. Doesn't matter. Wait a minute. No, what the Bible says, it does matter. And it matters to God. And yet the world's trying to tell you that it doesn't. He's saying, listen, that's the leaven of Herod. So you have the leaven of that's within the church and false teachers. You have the leaven of the world. He said, guard yourself as my followers. Guard yourself from this. Now, all they're thinking about is, oh, no, we didn't bring bread. And I'm with these guys. Again, they weren't thinking in the spirit. I'm sure we would have all been in the same place at this time. But it says this. Notice, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, well, it's because we have no bread. Again, the guys, you're still not getting it. You're just not, how, you know, again, you're not, it's not registering. Look at this. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? This isn't about physical bread. I'm trying to teach you something in the spirit. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? And I wonder how many times the Lord has said that to me. Mark, do you not yet perceive or understand? Why are you so blinded? Why can't you see what I'm doing? And it's so dulled sometimes. Again, we need to ask God to soften our hearts and open our eyes in case we are dull of heart. Because notice what he says, and this is his disciples. And notice he says, is your heart still hardened? I don't think about this being a hard heart. Notice, a lack of understanding and belief is a hardened heart. Isn't that something? I think about a hardened heart is, I don't want God. I'm going to stand away. You do your, I'm glad it worked for you. To me, that's a hardened heart. And indeed it is. But he's saying, no, my believers, my followers, when they don't take the time to understand what I've done in the past to know that I'm going to be the same in the future, when they don't believe that I'm going to be true to my word and keep my promises, it shows a hardened heart. How many times have I had a hardened heart? It scares me. Lord, soften my heart. I'll pray it right now with you. Lord, soften my heart. Soften our hearts, Lord. Let us believe your word. Give us understanding. Let us not doubt you and believe your promises. We don't want a hardened heart, but they had one. And so he's saying, your heart's hardened. Having eyes, do you not see? Again, we see physically, but why don't you see spiritually? I'm here showing you. Having ears, do you not hear? Yes, we hear physically. We're hearing it right now, but are we hearing God speak to us in spirit right now? And do you not remember? That's the one I want to challenge you on again really hard today. Do you not remember what he's done for you in the past? He's going to be faithful today, guys. He's going to be faithful tomorrow. And he reminds them what he did. Look what he said. Even as he's reminding us right now of his faithfulness to us. When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? I imagine I'm kind of sitting there for a minute looking around. You know, what I'm going, 12, you know? You hate to be the one to answer. You want to make sure you're right. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, well, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? And how many of us would God say that, say to us this morning? How do you not understand? Look, your situation you're in right now. You know, as we wrap this up, you're facing some situation and you're doubting God's power. You're doubting God's ability and God's faithfulness to see you through. Remember, all of your days have been fashioned before the foundation of the world. So he knows all your days. He knows what you're going to face. He knows what he's going to do. How many of us, and I've been guilty of it, guys, how many of us have doubted? And so here we are doubting this morning, saying, look, what do you not understand? Have you not seen that I've been faithful in the past? Do you not believe that I'm going to be faithful now? I'm going to be faithful tomorrow. So God is challenging some of us to do that. I want to encourage you, start remembering. As we finish today, start remembering what God has done for you in the past. And as you remember what God has done for you in the past, it's going to give you the courage and the faith to say, Lord, you were faithful then. You're going to be faithful forever. Again, same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm going to move forward trusting you that your plan is going to be completed in what you're doing now in my life. And trust him in that. And so I want to pray for us that we would do that, that we would just remember what the Lord has done, that we'd be faithful to the Lord. And again, also I want to pray for some of you that might be in some heavy sighing this morning. The weight of the world. The weight is on you, and you need some relief. And I'm going to pray for God to bring relief and to give you his joy at the same time that we trust what he's going to do in the future. Let's just pray right now. I want to pray over us. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your flock this morning, for your people, Lord. And God, you see, you know everyone in here intimately, God. You formed us all in the womb. You know everything about us. And I pray, God, for those in here that are sighing, that deep sigh from the bottom of the chest in the weight of what they feel, the trial they're in, the testing they're going through, Lord, the refining that's taking place. Lord, you have experienced that. You felt it. You know what it's like. And I pray, God, that you would now, based on your mercy and your grace and your understanding of what you felt, even at the moment we looked at today, would relieve them. Lift the weight off of their shoulders. Lift the weight off of their back. God, take the sighs away. God, your word says that for a spirit of heaviness, you give us a garment of praise. And I pray you would do that now for those in here that have that spirit of heaviness. Lift that heaviness. Give them that garment of praise and rejoicing. God, your word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We sang it earlier. Replace it with your joy. But God, also I pray for all those in here right now, God, everyone that maybe is facing some situation right now or maybe something that was coming up in the future and they're wondering, Lord, I need a miracle. I can't do this. And Lord, it's true, they can't, and we can't, but you can. And I pray, God, that you'd remind them right now, begin to bring to their memory every time you've been faithful in the past, all the things you've done over all the years, Lord, every moment where you've just, when it seemed like it was hopeless, suddenly you stepped in and took care of it. God, remind us and remind them of every episode to remember if you did it then, you're going to be doing it today and tomorrow. You are faithful all the way through to the end and all the way into the kingdom where we'll be seated around your table and rejoicing with the family of God forever. So God, we thank you. Pour out your spirit on your people and on your flock right now, Lord. And I thank you and ask you for the work that you've done, God. And Lord, ask you would bless your people as we finish. And we give you all the glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May you have just a joyous time in the Lord this week. Get in the Word. Sit and read the Word every day. Pray. It doesn't have to be long. Just open the Word. Read the love letter that He's written to you. Spend time in prayer and let God minister to your heart. You need it. And I need it. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, the pastors and elders will be up front. Don't leave without getting prayed for. But let's now, again, especially if you have a spirit of heaviness, let's stand now and put on a garment of praise and let the Lord lift the heaviness. Let's stand and worship the Lord. God bless you, God.
Sanctuary, bless God, the friend, bless God.
side glimpse how best you made. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God when the reason calls me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I'll bless your name. Bless God when the weapons fall. Bless God when the walls are falling. Bless God cause he goes before me. Every chance I get, I'll bless your name. Bless God for he holds the victory. Bless God for he's always with me. Bless God for he's always worthy.
Need prayer for anything, there'll be pastors up front here. We'll see you guys next time. God bless.
And I've seen its power.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to our live stream. We love and appreciate every one of you. If you're in need of prayer, please call the number on your screen or visit the prayer page on our website and let us know how we can pray for you. If you're into social media, be sure and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel and ring the bell to be notified when we go live or post a new video. And lastly, you can download our church app by going to calvaryknoxville.org/app. Thanks again for watching, and God bless.